The best Cork sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title. It's as simple as that.
Can you believe this?
Have you ever seen a try like that?
The Big Red Bench.
On Cork, good times.
Red FM.
Welcome along to the Big Red Bench once more here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour. The Big Red Bench in association with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the Senior All-Ireland Hurling Championship. And now let's get straight into the said hurling action. And we'll hear straight from Cork boss Pat Ryan after a 26-21 point win over the Dubs in Semple Stadium today in the quarterfinal.
Get your hand off for this kind of after the player game. So look, huge congratulations to the players. Had a huge challenge from Dublin outside there. Probably wasn't the best of hurling to us as far as that. But look, we dug out a win, the whole panel win. Lots of things to mind, gave us a bit of buzz off it. Obviously had a small bit of sickness going around the squad as well, which didn't help, you know. So look, get fellas right and hopefully be ready to go on Tuesday.
What was the early start a factor, do you think, in the way the game played out?
I'm sure, I suppose it was a bit dead-like, do you know what I mean? I think that was the same for both of us, you know, kind of points and stuff like that. Like, so look, I suppose it was the same for both teams.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you could see, look, I suppose it's very hard to have a really high standard match at co-op as well on a Saturday, so that's what we saw.
And didn't get any goals today. I suppose maybe unlucky to get one very early on and things might have been different. Is that a kind of a disappointment for you?
I usually suppose we know where we're at, like, to us again. The ability we have in the inside forwards. But look, in fairness, they defended well. You know,
yeah.
They kept fellas back. You know, they were physical in the tackle and what they wanted to do. And we knew they were, like, they've a very good full-back team there. You know, obviously, Owen O'Donnell is a fantastic player. So, from our point of view, look, we still created chances and probably could have taken a couple of them. Very despite this, wasn't one or two early. And that would have given us a bit of a large match to go forward.
I suppose the positive is that Dublin never really looked like a full-blown comeback in the second half, and you kept the clean sheet.
Yeah, and we could have tacked on a couple of scores just to make it easier for ourselves, and we were a bit sloppy around the place and probably made one or two wrong decisions when they were kind of coming at us with puck outs and stuff like that, and
yeah,
just keeping the ball a bit. But look, that's stuff that we'll work on, and we'll have 2 weeks, and this is a bit of a recovery there now as well.
Were you a small bit concerned with just the way that you finished out the game, or was it just kind of the way the game was going?
I just think, there was a divide of energy all over the place, and if there's the Dublin, they play a kind of a very running game, and it's hard to get tracks on them at times, you know, and they shoot from distance, and it becomes a bit congested, you know, it becomes a bit on off, and that's really, for want of a better word, and made it a bit harder for us to kind of settle into the game and get our hands on the balls. But look, you know, we still put up a good score, and look, we'll build for next week or Tuesday.
For quarterfinals, a bit like semi-finals, just getting through, really.
I suppose championship matches, that's what championship matches are about, and that's just the winner matches. And it was fantastic for us to win there today. There's 4 championship matches in a row. Look, I think you'll find that Cork haven't done that in 17 years. It's the first time in 17 years since 2006 that Cork haven't won 4 championship matches in a row. So that was a huge driver of our lads there over today.
And obviously, Pat, boys, the intensity of the last 2 games was what it was like against Limerick or Tipperary. There'll be no bother getting up to that level again.
Look, it's fantastic. As I said, look, you know, after the Clare game, they said they were going to Croke Park and to Eastside. Look, that's a fantastic achievement for our lads. But look, there's no point going up and just making up the numbers. So look, we'll see where the game goes here. And we'll look to Kilkenny or Limerick, and we'll prepare for them this evening. And
On Alan Connolly, he had a brilliant start to the Munster Championship. Just the last 2 games was a small bit quieter. Would that be a concern at all?
Not really. Look, Alan's been one of those fellas that's been under a bit of a clown sickness wise and stuff like that, and probably shouldn't have played him against Offaly last week. I just wanted him to get him over that. He could probably have him for 2 weeks prior to the Offaly game. And look, he was still dangerous today. Look, but Ronald Allen's a very good player. Do you know what I mean? Like, and but Alan still was took minding, you know, and that's makes space for other fellas, you know.
Robbie, I think looks happy.
Yeah, Robbie looks sharp. Yeah, look, it's great to have Robbie back, look, give us more options, and which we know that a player that Robbie has been crucified with injuries, but look, he's been very sharp. He left to play with his club last week, and he got 1-2, 1-3 with his club as well in 25 minutes, so that was great for him as well.
And obviously Rob Downey was also able to be back due to sickness. Eden Tooney has been unfortunate. He was a regular starter, and concussion obviously had played his part.
Yeah, look, with Eden's on the road to recovery, so hopefully he'll be okay in 2 weeks time as well.
There's probably not a whole lot more you can say about Hoggy Pack, but he equaled the scoring record again today, like, looking incredibly sharp.
Oh, he did, yeah. Look, to be honest, he left a couple over behind him as well. Do you know what I mean? I think Patrick will be sharper. Do you know what I mean? Look, that'll discipline. Look, Patrick is a perfectionist, so if you go after that, if you look after that, here is he could have done better on today. And look, at the same time, we probably wouldn't match up with him.
Is the scoring record something that's permeated in the dressing room at all? Has it been discussed?
Jesus, not a bit. I think it's just whoever lasts longest between himself and TJ.
They might have
a point number 7 husband's going to come and call
Pat. Oh, look, yeah, exactly. Look, 2 fantastic players, you know, but there was fantastic players before them. And there was a lot more games now, so it's hard to kind of think. But look, we're very proud of these from Cork.
Great stuff from Pat there. Now let's also hear from his opposite number, Micheál O'Donoghue.
Had opportunities, we didn't take them, and I suppose at this level, when you don't take the opportunities, you can rue the result. You know, I can't fault the boys' attitude. Was top class. You know, we took a fair bit of criticism and understandably so after the performance in the Leinster final, but I thought they responded brilliantly to a man. And I know when we reflect back on it, you know, we will miss a lot of rude opportunities and maybe the chance to progress.
Yeah, that wide tally is probably where it hurt most.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I suppose that's the level. You know, we spoke about this as a journey, and you know, I think for this team, they have to play in big, meaningful games like Leinster finals, like All Ireland quarterfinals, and you can only gain that experience by playing in games of these magnitude. But when you're here, you have to be ruthless in your execution. And you know, I think we 16 wides. I thought we. In half time, we were content where we were in the game. You know, we were five down. Probably the first 5 or 6 minutes after half time probably hurt us the most, in that we conceded another three. And then we were just chasing it, but you know, testament to the lads, they fought to the end, brought it back. Obviously, we knew we probably needed a goal in the latter stages to bring it down to the wire. But I'm extremely proud of the way the lads battled right to the end.
And had they applied the belief that they had in the final quarter, maybe earlier in the match, you would have created a goal scoring opportunity.
Yeah, but I think equally you have to think of the opposition that you're playing. Look, when you get down to this stage of the championship, you're playing the top teams in the country, and you know, Cork have had a brilliant few weeks in getting back into it, and you know, they're a top quality side, you know, great management in Pat, and you know, we congratulate them and wish them well going into the future.
When you look back at the year as a whole, how do you review it?
Actually, look, we're disappointed. When you're in this, you want to stay winning and you want to stay going. So, look, right now we're extremely disappointed that we're not competing in All-Ireland semi-final in 2 weeks' time. Look, when you reflect back, getting to a Leinster final, getting back to this stage of the competition again is a plus. But you know, we're not ones for moral victories. As I said, when you're here, you want to compete and you want to win. And you know, when you're in a Leinster final, you want to win it. When you're in All-Ireland quarter final, you want to win it and stay progressing. So, right now it's tinged disappointment. That'll probably change maybe in a few weeks.
But at the start of the year, you must have been, if you're looking back now, you must have been happy with an All-Ireland quarter-final, Leinster final.
Yeah, of course, but when you're in it, you need to win it. Do you know what I mean? And that's ultimately where everyone that's in this is highly competitive, and it's the winner takes it all, unfortunately.
What were the last 2 weeks like for you all in terms of trying to pick yourselves up after that Leinster final?
I have to give the lads huge credit. I think, in fairness, when we returned to training on Tuesday night after the Leinster final, their attitude and their application and the way they trained just basically set the tone for the 2 weeks to come. So, you know, that's credit to the spirit that's in the group, the props that they have representing Dublin, and, you know, just their pure hunger to be successful.
I know you touched on the whites, but how draining are they?
Actually, look, they are draining. Do you know what I mean? I suppose, look, I think the shot count was like 43, 41. Like, I think in every aspect of the game, we matched it. Do you know what I mean? It was just our execution. But,
But you 43 shots.
Yeah, 43 shots. Yeah.
And what would be your target now for a normal championship match?
I think, look, 50 is probably the magic number, isn't it?
Right.
So I suppose the execution then falling below 50%, that's kind of...
Yeah, it is. And look, and I suppose that's where the experience counts in these big games, and you know, going forward you have to execute them.
It's a young group. You seem to have them moving in the right direction. Like, with that in mind, I assume is it safe to assume you'll be back again next year?
Yeah, look, they're a brilliant group. I've said it many times, like, they're a young group, an experienced group. You know, we lost a lot of lads, and you know, just testament to them, they're accredited to themselves, their clubs, and to their country.
We'll see you next year with Dublin.
That's the plan anyway. Yeah.
Now, after the match and coming to the end of the Clare Wexford game, I caught up with Cork hurling legend Seanie McGrath to talk the Dublin review as well as the Limerick preview. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Cork hurling legend Seanie McGrath. Seanie, I was worried after the Offaly game. I'm perhaps even more worried after that one.
Look, Dan, a win is a win, and 26 points isn't bad shooting. You'd be hoping that they'd get to the 30-point mark. But you got to give credit to Dublin as well. I thought they were excellent, particularly from their puckouts. Their structure and their setup from the puckouts was really, really good. And you know, the race in the pack, I suppose, was Conor Burke in midfield. He was excellent. I'd say Mihal, I don't know who will be disappointed. Maybe, you know, he gets a lot of scores normally from Donal Burke. He's an excellent free taker. He was just a little bit off today. So I think it was a bit of a mix of Cork maybe being just maybe a level below their best, and maybe Dublin playing above, you know, certainly playing above what they played against in Dillon's the final. They were really good in patches and, you know, coming down the stretch, really. I suppose if they had gotten a goal from the 21, maybe on the 68 or 69th minute, it would have made for a really interesting finish. But I did think, all right, then, that there was an air of inevitability about the fixture, and the result was always going to be Cork's. They hung in there. They weren't terribly over-impressive. There was no real Cork player stood out. Size boy, there wasn't one nominated for Man of the Match, or at least didn't get Man of the Match. I think it was Conor Burke on Man of the Match.
Did, yeah.
But look, Cork still got the victory, Dan, and, you know, go to the game at Croke Park against Limerick now with plenty to improve on.
I guess, in a way, we're thinking it probably was a foregone conclusion. Do you think that maybe fed into what the players were thinking?
I would say so. It's very hard. You try and guard against it, but it's very hard when that sort of, you know, narrative is going around, and it, you know, the players aren't stupid. They hear it and they feel it. And the last two games have been tough games. The Offaly game and this game against Dublin, they're out of the way now. You know, they still scored well. You know, some fellas' form is good. Other fellas will need to pull up the socks. They'll be looking over their shoulders a little bit. You can imagine that the same 15 will start, but certainly some fellas will want to pull up their socks. They weren't great again today, a few of them. But, you know, as a collective, I think it was okay. It was probably a 6.5, 7 out of 10. You'd say the same in Tullamore the last day. They're out of the way now, and they just have to get, you know, they have a nice little 2-week gap and get real focus on the Limerick game, because that type of attitude and that type of performance won't do against Limerick.
Yeah, how do you see that Limerick game going? I mean, the Clare Wexford game is still ongoing, but it looks like, anyway, it's going to be Clare win here, so it will be Cork versus Limerick. That's going to be a huge, huge occasion.
Oh, it's going to be incredible. And, you know, the Cork crowd got behind them. You know, the small bit of skirmish towards the end, and, you know, Cork stood up to it, and the Cork fans got behind the players, and, you know, it'll be very much the same. No, Limerick will do the same. They're going for 5 in a row, Dan, so they're not going to bring a small crowd to Croke Park either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it augurs to be an incredible occasion. Looking forward to it. Can't wait to get up there myself and, you know, get to Croke Park. You know, it's where the Cork fans want to be, so, you know, the Cork team will have to respond, and they just need to up the ante, up the attitude. I think it's there, though. Like, they've shown throughout the campaign, you know, when they're really at top pitch, you know, they can be competitive, and they can be a match for anyone. So, you know, the same as what we got down in the park a couple of weeks ago, a massive high octane performance. You know, do what you got to do, get your freeze. Patrick Collins, his trajectory continues to go upwards. I thought he was really good again today, made a great save at a crucial juncture, and his pug goes to a good. So, you know, and Kieran Joyce, he's got, you know, another 70 minutes into the legs, did well. And you'll be hoping that Rob Downey recovers from the illness. So, you know, just get the attitude right. I think we've got a right chance of beating Limerick.
I mean, that day in Parky Cove in the round robin game, what did you make of that one?
Sure, Dan, look, my favourite game ever was the 1990 All Ireland final, Cork and Galway, but it was very, very close to that. The intensity and the atmosphere, and the finish was just unbelievable. A great finish from Patrick Horgan, but an unbelievable run, a real brave run from Shane Kingston, and, you know, he obviously won the penalty. So it was an incredible occasion, and you could see the swell of support that came from the fans then out in the field. But, you know, it's in the history books now, and, you know, Cork just have to, as I said, you know, get back to training now in the next 2 weeks. Any injuries, you know, just nurse all those and just get the attitude 100% right, because, you know, like, Limerick are just a different animal. They're a different beast. I mean, Clare even today, you know, I watched the first half. You know, all these teams are able to up the ante when they need to. I thought they've actually had a kind of a funny campaign. I think they've limped along in most of the games. I thought they were poor enough in the most of the final, but it was a different Clare team that took to the field today against Wexford. And, you know, Limerick will be waiting now. They're not going to let their title, they're not going to relinquish it easy, Dan. It's going to be an unbelievable battle, and you can only match teams of that level when your own intensity is there. So, you know, the ability is there well within the Cork ranks once they can match it with a ferocious appetite and a ferocious intensity.
I suppose where I have the worry for this Cork team is, you know, fairly lacklustre performance against Offaly, fairly lacklustre today. How, as a player, do you now get up and have a 10 out of 10 performance, which that's what it's going to take to beat this Limerick side after going off the back of, you know, a 5, 6 out of 10?
Yeah, like, it's not very easy, Dan. Like, I'm saying that they have to up the ante, but sometimes it's not as easy as flicking that switch. It's hard, like, as well. Like, you kind of, if you get stuck in a rut and you play consecutive games where you're not great, you know, it can be hard enough. But, you know, that's the challenge that Pat and his management team have now. They have the 2 weeks. They have those two games out of the way. And they still got learnings from the game. I mean, they'll have learned from the puck outs today. You know, they probably offered up too much space to Dublin at times, and Dublin were playing through the lines quite easily, and they were having some long distance strikes. And definitely, Dan, if Dublin's accuracy was in, they had some awful wides in scoring. You know, they were scoring chances. So, you know, Cork will need to be a bit tighter and just get that game management better. And that's the challenge that Pat has. But I suppose just back to the ability. The ability is there, Dan. You know, just once we have a good 2 weeks training, and realise, you know, that the fans are baying for this. We wanted to get to Croke Park. The team have delivered. But no, you know, Cork, forget about the fact that you're trying to stop an unbelievable team from creating an incredible achievement. You know, we just need to win one more game to get to an All-Ireland final. Let's, you know, give it everything, 70, 80 minutes, whatever it takes, and hopefully we'll get a second day out. But just for the next 2 weeks now, you know, get those injuries right, get the attitude at that game with nothing but 100% intensity.
What do you think Pat's going to be saying to the lads now over the next 2 weeks?
I'd say, like, he's going to say, you know, anything that's below par, that doesn't have that sort of ferocity that you expect with Championship Hurling, we're going to get eat, lads. You know, with total respect to Offaly and to Dublin, they won't have attackers of the ilk of, you know, Tom Morrissey or Gerard Hagerty or Aaron Gillen. And if we give the same sort of space to Limerick like we gave to Dublin today, you know, we concede 30 plus points quite easily. So, you know, but they're not stupid. The players will know that themselves. They've played these Limerick fellas plenty of times. You know, the full back line for Limerick is much, much better than we've played in the last two games. You know, so our, as I said in my own article there earlier in the week, you know, when that ball goes into the inside line, it's got to stick and come out easy. I thought it came out again easy a few times today. Make it stick. I think our half forward line is doing really well. He came from, we say, Shane Barrett and Decky Dalt in particular. Decky, I think, has played very well this campaign, and his long distance threes again were very good today. And then around midfield, you know, a little bit more energy from Dara. He was good again today, but, you know, there's more in him. Luke Mead was good, and, you know, if Robbie is fit, does he come back in or does he go with status quo? I think he might go what he started with today again. You know, so plenty of busyness around midfield, and make sure that they don't get a stranglehold, that Will O'Donoghue doesn't get on top of us. And once that happens, then you're expecting just teak toughness in defence, real tight marking, give them no space, and make it very, very hard, because, as I said, Morrissey, Hagerty and Gillan, they'll punish you if they get space, so we just got to be nice and tight.
Yeah, do you think Pat has his strongest starting 15 now? I guess that'd be probably Downey at centre-back. Where are you putting Joycey? Are you bringing him into the midfield, or are you putting him in the place of a wing-back, maybe?
Yeah, that's a small bit of the conundrum. It's a great conundrum to have. I mean, it goes to show that you have strength and depth when you've got these problems. I thought Joyce was good. Like, he just got through the minutes, and he got aerially. I thought he was very strong. His hand was good. So, you know, I think if Rob is fit, I'm hearing it's just a tummy bug or something. So if he's fit, you'd imagine he'd start. You know, does he start on the wing? I actually think centre back might suit him. So maybe Kieran might go to the wing in that instance. As I said, with Luke Mead starting midfield, who knows? I mean, it's a great place to be. It's a great place to be, but only Pat will know really what formation he's going to go with. But I think for the first time in a long time now, we've got some options, and, you know, I've said it regularly here, like, that we've got plenty of ability in this setup. We've got subs that can come in and make a difference. You know, Lehan, Kingston, Patrick Power, fellas like that, Jor Mellerick, Tommy O'Connell, they all came in and got stuck in. Robbie Flynn, brilliant to see his form today. Came on and got two fast points. You know, will he hold Robbie in reserve? I think he probably will, and spring in, but you've got options now with Kingston and Robbie Flynn to spring. So it's just getting the balance right and getting fellas on the field at the right time. And at last, we look like we've got a kind of a 20 or 21 that can be really competitive and have a right chance of winning in All-Ireland.
Is there a bit of worry, or not worry, of Alan Connolly? I mean, he's an absolutely super player with his goal scoring record, but, you know, he hasn't scored in the last two now, when there was such expectation he'd probably kick on against Offaly in Dublin, considering he did it against, you know, Limerick and Tip. Does he just need to get one now to bring that confidence back?
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean even a goal, just get a score for himself, and that'll happen when you're a player, but particularly when you're a forward, you go through a small bit of a drought like that, he'll be fine. I actually think it's happened faster for him than I thought at the start of the season. I was saying that if he went through championship games and got his two or three points, he should be absolutely delighted, and so should the Cork public. But he's just been a whirlwind. He's been an absolute revelation over the last couple of weeks, and I thought today, you know, at times the ball wasn't going in quick enough. He definitely was a threat. He went for goal. midway through the second half and won it to, at 21, put the head down. The ability is there. He'll be fine. I think Alan just needs to, you know, stay patient, keep working hard. He needs to be patient and keep working. It's when you stop working, Dan, you know, it's a bad side of a player. I think his attitude is good, so keep the appetite there and keep the work rate going and he'll be fine.
Lastly, as a player, what's it like playing in front of a Cork crowd when they're taking along, when there's a bit of expectation growing that we can go on and do something?
Look, it's probably the best feeling in the world, I'd say. I mean, they, it's an unbelievable opportunity for these lads. We've been there before, got to the final in 13, got to the final in 21. This one feels slightly different. But you got to keep the crowd with you as well, Dan. Not just the Cork crowd, but any crowd. You know, when you're losing and it goes against you, then, you know, you hear the moan and the groans. And I thought it was one or two moans and groans coming into Tullamore the last day against Offaly. So keep the Cork crowd with you. You know, get the scores, you know, get the tackles, the hooks and the blocks in and stand up and man up. And there's no better feeling. So hopefully now we just get our attitude really right. I keep using the word attitude. You know, once the attitude is 100% there, I think we have a right chance against Limerick.
Look, I won't hold you to it now, but do you have a prediction for us for the semi-final against Limerick?
It's a small bit early. It's 2 weeks out. I'd like to see maybe has anyone picked up an injury or, you know, just I always is there a full clean bill of health? And as the game is getting closer, I think it might be easier to make a prediction. Something might happen in the Limerick camp as well that might tilt the balance a little bit. All I would say is that, you know, we've gotten the two hard games out of the way now, Dan. You know, I just think when you're playing opposition that's a little bit behind you, it can be hard. I did feel that this was more of a banana skin. You know, Dublin are decent. They didn't do themselves any justice at all in Leinster final. They're much, much better than that, and they proved it today. They're a very, very good side with a brilliant manager. So we've got those two hard games out of the way. Now, we've got learnings from them, and if we can take those learnings, and as you keep saying, get our attitude really tip-top championship stuff, the attitude you expect from a team in an All-Ireland semi-final, I think we have a fierce chance.
Sean McGrath, thanks so much for joining us here on the Big Red Bench. Really appreciate it.
No problems, Dan. Take it easy, bye.
Ah, great stuff from Shawnee there. Now to a bit of rowing. The Olympic Federation of Ireland has officially selected the team that will compete at the Olympic Games in Paris. A record number of crews have qualified for the Games, with 16 athletes set to compete in Paris across 7 boats. This team includes 9 Tokyo Olympians and 6 rowers, with Olympic medals among them. Gold medalist Paul Donovan and Fintan McCarthy, who will compete in the men's lightweight double scull. Dave Lahan has been chatting to Fintan.
So I'm joined by Fintan McCarthy here, and I'm just wondering, Fintan, how is the prep going ahead of the Olympics?
Yeah, it's going well. We had a regatta a few weeks ago, and I had a bit of illness before that, but since then, you know, we've been putting some good training down, and yeah, things are looking off.
So is there anything in particular that you're maybe worried about ahead of the Olympics, or is it all kind of systems go and you're well prepped?
Yeah, no, I think we're taking it all in our stride now, and just kind of trying to enjoy the process of the last few weeks. Kind of leading in, it's always special kind of taking off the last few weeks of a certain block or the last few sessions of of different kind of weeks during the lead up. So I'm kind of just trying to soak all that in and enjoy it.
Very good. And will you get any break in between now and then, or have you any plans for any kind of break between now?
No, I think, yeah, it'll be pretty intense until the week before, and then we might taper off a bit before the games. But yeah, we're just kind of trying to squeeze in the last sort of bits of fitness and technical gains we can before we go. So
okay, and also I suppose, is there any other, let's say, countries that you might be worried about in terms of that may be challenging you when you get over there? Or
I think it's always a good race between us and the Italians, and the Swiss are pretty good as well. So we'll have the French too. They just qualified a few weeks ago. I think we've had some pretty tough races against those three crews in the past, so it will definitely be watching out for them. But yeah, so we're confident in our preparations I think we're going pretty well now, so we'll see how things go.
Will you take in some of the French sights when you get over there, do you think? Or
I'd say after the race we'll probably have a few days, but until then I think we'll be pretty busy. So I mean, there's always time for that after, so we'll definitely get around.
Perfect. And I suppose just one final question. Do you think with how Tokyo went and how successful you were in Tokyo that there might be a bit of added pressure, or do you think it's the sort of thing you might thrive on?
Yeah, no, I think I sort of take a lot of confidence from that and all our races in the last few years, really. I think we've really learned a lot from them, and I think some people could look at it as added pressure and kind of maybe call us favourites and stuff, but I think you know, when you're lining up at the start of the race, everyone's sort of on a level playing field, and it doesn't really matter, to be honest. So that's how we've always approached it, and I think it could be anyone's day, so we're just going to prepare as hard as we can, as best we can, and hopefully that'll be enough to get a good result that we'll be pleased with. Yeah, I'm proud of.
Perfect. Thanks very much, and best of luck in the Olympics.
No worries. Thanks.
That's where Max Cremin of UCC and Skibbereen's Aoife Casey have been selected for the lightweight women's double scull. They've also been chatting to Dave.
Right, so I'm joined by Aoife and Mags, who are heading to the Olympics as part of the women's double this year. So I suppose I'll start by asking you, how is the prep going for the Olympics?
Yeah, it's going well so far. We had a really good winter's training, and we're gearing up now towards racing, and there's good momentum, I think, in the team. There's never been this many boats qualified for the Olympics for Ireland in rowing, so it's very exciting. So it's a very exciting time of the year.
Yeah, and I suppose just in relation to that, do you think the fact that there is so many boats qualifying for the Olympics that there's now a respect that maybe there mightn't have been in the past?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think after Rio, like, rowing became a lot more popular, and there was a lot more talk about rowing, and you know, the sport is growing so much since then, and it's really exciting. Yeah. So.
And I suppose also in like, obviously rowing is popular in other countries as well. Is there any other countries, let's say, that are challenging that you might be, let's say, slightly concerned about? Or?
Yeah, no, definitely. We're racing the light women's double, and because we all weigh in at like 57 kilograms, it's such tight races and tight margins. Like 2 years ago, we went to Worlds and we won a bronze medal, and then the following year we were seventh. So like, the margins are so small. So definitely, from, I suppose, the racing so far this year, we're looking at GB are really strong contenders, Romania, USA, that in lightweight rowing, it's, the margins are so small that we're kind of excited to get going and get racing and see. On the day, it could be anybody who qualifies, anybody who makes it to the A final, anybody who medals. So it's really exciting to kind of trust the process and get to that start line as strong and fit as we can.
And do you think there'll be any time for a break between now and then, or is it all systems go, really?
Yeah, unfortunately, we're all systems go. We're counting down the days. I think it was maybe 50 days to go a few days ago. So we're just kind of trying to make the most out of each day, the most out of each session, and kind of enjoy it too. Do you know that we're not wishing it away, that we're kind of trying to make the most of it and enjoy the process. And then come Paris, we'll be all excited and ready to race, I think.
Cool. And do you think you'll get to see any of the scenery over, like the Eiffel Tower or anything like that? Or is it just a case of fully focused on the Olympics, let's say, after the...
Yeah, no, I think we'll be pretty switched on and focused come racing, because we're kind of the first week of the Olympics, so we'll be unfortunately missing the opening ceremony, but fingers crossed we'll be able to stay on and do all the sightseeing and tourist attractions and everything after once we're finished racing, I think, and participate in the closing ceremony and things like that will be really special to see and do.
Thanks very much for your time and best of luck.
And last but not least, Emer Lamb has been selected as part of the women's four and has also been chatting with Dave.
So I'm joined here by Emer Lamb. So Emer, how is the prep going for the Olympics?
Yeah, it's going really well at the moment. So I'm part of the women's four and they've only just qualified there about 3 weeks ago now. So we've really built a lot of momentum from qualifiers and yeah, two months to go, so all guns blazing.
Very good. And have you any concerns coming up towards the Olympics, or are you fully kind of confident at the moment? You know, with I mean, obviously you've got time to address them if there is, but
no, not at the moment. Like, we're going quite well as a four, and we're all gelling really, really well. So at the moment, it's just trying to keep like consistency in training, staying away from injuries and illnesses over the next few months, and keeping a focus on that coming into the Olympics.
Okay, very good. And I suppose in terms of, is there any other countries in the Olympics that you might be concerned about challenging you, or?
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's a very competitive field. I'd say the Netherlands, I'd say, would probably be the favourites, as well as GB and Romania, sorry, blanking there.
No.
But we're just kind of trying to keep a bit of an internal focus and, like, trying to get the best race possible out of ourselves, and then hopefully that'll be enough to get us into the mix.
Yeah, it would be nice to get one up on Team GB, all right, I suppose. Will you have time to take in any of the scenery and stuff like that over in Paris, or will it just be...
Before the competition, probably not, but we're quite lucky in that rowing is actually the first competition of the Olympic Games, so the Olympics goes on for about 3 weeks, and we'll be done within the first 5 or so days. So that gives us a good 2 weeks to kind of make up for lost time and take in all the sights and scenes then.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I suppose that's all I have to ask you, and best of luck in the Olympics.
Great, thanks so much.
That concludes the first half here on the Big Red Bench. Come back to us in the second half. We'll have all the post-match reaction from the Cork Camogie seniors hammering over Dublin with the one and only Ger McCarthy. Do not go anywhere.
The Big Red Bench.
Cork's Good Times.
Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Proudly in association with Bord Gáis Energy, partners of the Senior All-Ireland Hurling Championship. Dan Casey here with you. And after Cork's Camogie seniors 4-22-5 win over Dublin earlier, I caught up with Ger McCarthy to review that one, as well as preview the Cork footballers' clash versus Louth tomorrow. We're delighted to be joined here by Ger McCarthy on the Big Red Bench. Course, Cork take on Louth in a do-or-die clash tomorrow in the preliminary quarter-final up in Inneskeen, Monaghan. Ger, how are you feeling about this one now?
I'm feeling pretty good, Dan, to be quite honest with you. I know there's been... a lot of question marks in recent weeks over Cork, much like the hurlers, you know, they're not putting in lights out performances, and we saw Cork at their absolute best against Donegal when they played for the full 70 minutes. They didn't play as well against Tyrone, but I do think the black card, Chris Hogue Jones, is harsh black card. I thought the losing out 1-3 to 2 points in that 10 minute period really was the difference. But I also think the fact that Cork failed to score a goal, Dan, it's been written about quite a lot this week, against Tyrone, and it was three defenders, Rory Maguire, Matty Taylor, and I know Sean Potter plays in the forwards, but he'll always be a defender to me, getting the goals against Donegal. There is a concern that if Cork aren't able to score goals, they could be in trouble against Louth. But look, I'm looking at the positives. This is the fifth time we've played Louth in the last 2 years in league and championship. It's 2 wins apiece. Gerberne has done a fantastic job since Mickey Hart left. He's got them, you know, playing, you know, relatively well. And this is a, as you said, it's do or die. It's a free punch. They're on home turf. You know, Louth will certainly relish it. But I think if Cork play to their potential, and if they play for the full 70 minutes like they did against Donegal, and if they manage to grab a goal or two, I do expect them to win. But it may not be as pretty or as close or as we would like. But who cares, as long as you get through.
Well, if you're looking at form as well, I was at the Kerry Louth game. They're coming off the back of a nice old thumping as well. They didn't really show up that day.
They didn't, Dan, but they reduced the margin of victory from 28 points to 14 from the previous time they played them. So they have improved, Louth. Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to know where you are against Kerry, because they just seem to be so far themselves, and the Dubs do look a little bit ahead of everybody still at this stage of the championship. But look, I think Cork have just got a settled team. They've got, I know there's question marks over Brian Hurley. He's on the bench, or he's been named on the bench for the game the next day. I think they missed him and his influence off the ball against Tyrone. Stephen Sherlock certainly slipped in there with, like, he kicked 8 points, 6 from frees, more than an able deputy and somebody that should be starting anyway, in my opinion. But I just think this is a settled team. I think 12 months on from where they were when Kevin Walsh came in as the new defensive coach, when John Cleary still wasn't in that long, they're just much more settled. They know what they're doing, you know, from the backs, Mara Shanley and Kevin Flav, the two cornerbacks there, getting forward at every opportunity. I look upon this, I know Louth are a Leinster team, but the way they defend and the way they get 14 behind the ball, very similar to what Tyrone and Donegal did to Cork, and Cork are used to coming up against these mass defences, and what Cork have got, Dan, compared to other teams that Louth would have faced, is a hell of a lot of pace. They've got pace on the wings, they've got pace with Flav, they've got Shanley, they've got Matty Taylor, they've got Tommy Walsh bursting forward, and also in the wings in the forward line, the likes of Sean Powder and Brian Driscoll just get through such a huge amount of work. They're varying their attacking patterns, they're coming from wide, they're coming down the middle when it suits some Cork. But, you know, a lot will depend on midfield. They've got to retain as much primary possession as they possibly can against Louth. When they've beaten Louth in their previous matches, it's when we've had the greater share of possession. And that's why Ian Maguire and Colin McCallan are going to have such a vital role on Sunday, certainly against them. But I still look at that forward line, at like Mark Cronin, Chris Oak-Jones as well, in fairness to him, and Stephen Sherlock are playing really, really well. We didn't get the victory over Tyrone, but I think, you know, Louth, were we at home, Dan, funnily enough, I'd be a bit more wary of Louth, because when you're away from home, there's less expected of you. But when you're on your home patch, Louth will be expected to kick on from that Kerry performance, even though they did have the previous deficit from the previous from last year, which I suppose is a sign of improvement. But I just look at that Cork team, and if we play to our potential, that's the big if, I think we're going to win this one.
Where do you think the game will be won and lost? I mean, for me, somebody right up there as a top full forward in the country is Louth's Sam Mulroy, of course, but Daniel O'Mahony this year has been absolutely outstanding, put David Clifford in his back pocket, did the same with Oisín Gallen and Donegal as well, and I don't see why tomorrow would be any different.
Yeah, it's been a problem position for a few years, to be fair. Not such a problem position, but getting somebody to nail down that number three jersey. We've had quite a few players don it during the National League campaign, and Daniel O'Mahony, in fairness to Knock the Green Man, he's done fantastic since he came in. He'll have to be on his best tomorrow, as you said, to mark Louth's top scorer. But I just think the way Cork defend and the way they defended against Tyrone, for the majority of it, a lot of Tyrone scores were like top quality, top draw, like from different angles, wide. You don't often see teams get as many of those scores in a particular match. I suppose what I'm saying is this Cork defence will make Louth work for every score, the same way Kerry did. But having a settled defence, having a settled goalkeeper as well, Christopher Kelly's managed to hold down the number one jersey. His kickouts, I mean, kickouts are absolutely primary. To answer your question directly, it's that middle third, Dan. They've got to gain primary possession. If they don't win clean ball from kickouts, if Ian Maguire and Colin McCallan can't win clean ball, the likes of Tommy Walsh, the likes of Rory Maguire and Matty Taylor have got to be bursting through and making sure Cork dictate the game to Louth and not the other way around. I think if it's anyway in the melting pot with 10-20 minutes to go, I still would fancy Cork, because they just have that sense about them this year. They know what they're doing. And a real bonus this year, I think, has been the number of turnovers. There's been a high number of turnovers in each of their games. Their tackling has improved. They've managed to strip possession from the likes of Donegal that day, from likes of Clare and Tyrone the last day. I know they didn't get the victory over Tyrone, and that was disappointing, because it would have made life a lot easier. But of all the teams, I suppose, in the counties they could have drawn, Galway or Mayo, going up to Galway or Mayo, I think John Cleary would prefer to go to Louth. And in fairness to Louth, I think they'd prefer to be playing Cork more so than who they could have played. So look, it's for both teams involved, it's do or die, it's championship football. They know each other quite well over the last couple of years as well, just because they played in Division 2 and in the championship. But I just see, you know, even though we lost to Tyrone, I just see the gradual, steady improvement of this Cork team. And if we gain the ball, as much ball as we possibly can around the middle third, I think we've got the forwards that are going to hurt Louth.
Have you heard anything from Cleary at all this week? He's kind of gone small but quiet since before the Tyrone game even.
Yeah, John, at the best of times, he's very good to the media, in fairness to him. When he says he'll be there, he's there and he gives us his time. But I had a feeling we wouldn't be hearing from anyone this week. I think after the Donegal game, he was a bit, you know, when we got so many interviews with the players out on the pitch and they were so happy having beaten Donegal, he's rightly shut things down this week. I think you do need to keep feet on the ground. You certainly do need to keep focused, and there's no problem with the Cork players doing that and the Cork management team either, and just coming into it, it's, you know, the less you give the Louth camp about what's happening or what's not happening, I suppose a lot of emphasis from Louth's point of view will probably be on, is Brian Hurley fit? Clearly, from the way the team has been named, he's not going to start, but he's certainly on the bench, and I know how highly John Cleary rates him. I know how highly the Cork team rate him. If he comes in, even some sort of a cameo if he's needed, if he doesn't start, I think Brian's going to have a very, very important role to play in the game. But it does not surprise me that John Cleary has shut things down this week. They've talked to us all year, in fairness to them, whenever we've asked from the media point of view. But this is such an important game, then, because, you know, win and, you know, the momentum from what's been a positive season, championship season, maybe not a positive National League season, but certainly second half of the National League in the early stages of the championship this year, Cork are definitely much, much better than they were over the last 2 years, I'd even say, and they're certainly on the right path. But we need to go to load, and we need to win that game just to, you know, to rubber stamp that. And we need to get to Croke Park then. When we're a Division 2 team, we need to get up there. We need to be the underdog against somebody and have a right rattle off it, because this Cork team on a wide open Croke Park pitch, I think, would be a danger against anyone. But look, cannot look beyond, and John Cleary is not looking beyond Louth. They know each other quite well. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tight. But if the Cork team played to their full potential, I just see them winning this one.
It is nice to dream about Croker, though, all the same. Just getting this team into a quarter final would be amazing to see. If I can just pick your brain, I guess, about match that will be going on while this is maybe going out. It's Derry Mayo. Like, what a huge clash that one is. Derry season, like, from what the heights, it looked like it was going to hit at the start of the league or full league to now. It's just absolutely madness.
It is strange, because looking back in it now, under Mickey Hart and Conor Devlin, that having left Louth and taken over the Derry job, like, they were, this Derry team in the National League, and you would have seen them as well, were absolutely flying. They were just a joy to watch. They were doing all the things they had done last year and a bit more. My thought process on this, Dan, is that maybe all of this was a bit too much too soon. And since they've gone into the Ulster Championship, since they've fallen a couple of times now, you know, question marks are starting to be asked. They're nowhere near as full on or flowing with the attacks as they used to be. There's rumours during the week in the press whether they're true or not. They've been, Derry camp are saying it's not true, but some of the players on the panel seem to be questioning Mickey Hart's methodologies, and all of a sudden what they're doing may not be the right thing to be doing. I don't know whether that's true or not. A lot of rumours, but usually with rumours there is some smidgen of small bit of truth in there. I can understand Derry supporters and Derry players' frustration having had such a fantastic start to the year, but you don't peak in April. You don't peak in March in the National League. You peak now, coming into the knockout stages of the All-Ireland Championship. The Ulster Championship is so tight and so difficult to win. I wouldn't have read too much into Derry not winning it, to be honest with you. But their form, as you rightly said, has been a big surprise. The thing with it, they're playing a Mayo team, Dan, and I was watching this last week. They were 30 seconds away from beating Dublin and should have beaten Dublin. And instead of beating Dublin, Kieran Kilkenny catches a kick out. Two passes later, it's over the bar and the Dubs have their draw. And I just wonder, having played so well that day, Kevin McStay trying to raise, you know, the players' spirits again and getting back up again to face a dangerous team like Derry, they could be in a lot of trouble today if they don't put in a full team performance. And what I've seen from Mayo this year is that they're certainly as good as they've been any other seasons, but psychologically, giving up that what would have been a fantastic victory over the Dubs on, you know, in Roscommon the last day, you just wonder in the back of their minds, if things don't go well today, this could be the recovery game for Derry, but it could, you know, it's a recovery game for both of them. But a team like Derry, who've had so much media attention on them this week, more so than usual, were Derry to win that and get the recovery, they could be very dangerous in the quarterfinals as well. I don't know which way it's going to go, to be quite honest with you, but I saw enough from Mayo last week against Dublin to suggest that they should win. But, you know, whoever wins that, the boost that they'll get, having, you know, Derry suffering a couple of bad defeats, and Dublin, you know, coughing up that draw to Dublin. Sorry, Mayo coughing up that draw to Dublin. It would be the perfect boost heading into a quarter final against whoever they play in Croke Park.
You were at the Camogie earlier on today in Parky Keeve. That was a bit of a drubbing there from the Rebels.
Yeah, I mean, look, Cork are the reigning All-Ireland champions, and what you need to do is you need to develop mentality, you know, that whoever you're playing, play like All-Ireland champions. And boy, Dan, did they do that today. Nine different scores, 2-7 from Mabey O'Connor, 1-5 from Katrina Mackey, a goal from Ciara O'Sullivan, and they held Dublin scoreless from open play, winning 4-22 to 5 points. It was as comprehensive as the final score suggests. The plus points for Germanley, as I said, holding Dublin scored a small open play, but the return from injury of Laura Tracy at centre back, we spoke to her, she was excellent today again, and what a boost she is for Cork. And also Ciara O'Sullivan, who's had her injury woes over the years from Leuchestown, she came on today and got a goal and played superbly as well. And all this without Maeve Cahalan, without Izzy O'Regan, you know, who missed the game today with injury. Orla Cahalan didn't play either. the depth of Ger Manley's squad, Dan, is the big, I suppose, plus point coming out of this. The win is the win. It was over after, with respect to Dublin, it was pretty much over after 10, 20 minutes, to be honest with you. But Cork kept their foot on the gas. And what the players said to us afterwards was they were determined to play for all four quarters today. Not to put a score up, not to beat Dublin, but to put in a performance for all four quarters, something they've struggled to do in different at different stages of the year. But in terms of reminding the rest of the country who the All-Ireland champions are, in terms of reminding Galway, who will be travelling to Parkhicreeve next Saturday for the final round of group matches, and that's a huge game now for Cork, Dan, because if Cork avoid defeat, they go straight through to an All-Ireland semi-final, and they avoid the need to play a quarter-final. They are through the knockout stages no matter what, but you can just sense this team. They've had 2 weeks coming into this game, did a week off, they are absolutely flying. I haven't even mentioned Saoirse McCarthy. I haven't mentioned Saoirse McCartan or Fiona Keating or Amy or Katrina Mackey. I mentioned her as well. And in midfield as well, Aoife Healy and Aisling Thompson are playing really, really well. This is a Cork team under Ger Manley who are going exactly where they need to be, determined to get back to that All-Ireland final and retain the trophy that they won last year. And this performance today, albeit against a team that, you know, Dublin just weren't up to it on the day, the scoring, the defending and the determination and the attitude and the sharpness of this Cork team means next week's game against Galway, which is going to be much tighter, they're in a very, very good place right now, Dan, and on course, I think, to at least get back to an All-Ireland final.
A team that can't seem to string all four quarter performances, the Cork men's hurlers. Did you watch any of it today, Ger?
No, I was otherwise engaged in Parkhicreeve. But keeping up to date with it, my impression from what I've read of the match reports that I've read thus far, Dan, is that, look, it was a win. You turn up and you win and you move on to the next challenge. I think the gap after the Munster Championship into the All-Ireland Series didn't help Cork, and that the momentum that they had coming out of the Munster Championship, a little bit of that was lost. But look, you know, they've won their last two games. They went into Offaly and they won. It's no win situation. You go in and you only win by 7 or 8 points and people say, you didn't play well. You go in and you hammer the likes of Offaly or Dublin and people say, sure, look, you were always going to hammer them. So I think from Pat Ryan's point of view, it's all about Limerick. It's all about, presuming it's Limerick, all about getting to the All-Ireland semi-final. This is the first time the Cork seniors hurlers have been in an All-Ireland semi-final in 3 years. And that's the key thing, that a bit of momentum might have been lost. We might not necessarily have been as sharp as we were during the Munster Championship, not scoring the goals that you'd expect us to score, but we're winning games we're expected to win, and it's all momentum, it's all mentality. Very similar to the Cork footballers, very similar to the ladies footballers and the Camogie as well. Get into that winning habit, and if things aren't going as well as they should be, and I don't know if that was the case today, it seems like Dublin closed the gap late in the game and Cork might have taken their foot off the gas a little. 25 points is still a good return. I'd like to have seen a few more goals over the last, not just today, but over the last two games, heading into, to be honest with you, heading into the All-Ireland semi-final, assuming it's Limerick, look, it's a completely different game, Dan. These last two games will be quickly forgotten. The Cork team will be fresh, they'll be sharp, they'll be bouncing off that Croke Park surface, really, really determined to put, you know, the opportunity to knock out Limerick, having beaten them in the Munster Championship, the opportunity to stop the five in a row. If that's not motivation enough for the Cork hurlers, I don't know what is. And I wouldn't read too much into the performances necessarily. As long as we're winning and as long as we're putting up big scores, that's what you want. And then you turn and you build and you go for it in Croke Park, because they're going to be underdogs no matter who they play, most likely Limerick. And I think actually that will suit Pat Ryan and his players. And considering the year that they've had to get back to an All-Ireland semi-final, the curve remains upward, certainly in my opinion anyway, for the Cork senior hurlers.
But I think there only is one way the curve can go up after the last two performances, but we'll live in hope anyway. Hopefully we'll do the business in an All-Ireland semi. It looks like it's going to be Limerick while I look at the Clare Wexford game going on here. But Ger McCarthy, thanks so much for joining us here on the Big Red Bench once more.
Nice one, Dan. Talk soon.
Thanks a million to Ger once again. It's time to hear from some of the Cork Camogie panel. Here's Ger speaking to Laura Tracy.
Laura Tracy, firstly, it is so good to see you back out on a pitch and playing so well for Cork. How are you, having recovered from that injury?
Yeah, it was a long haul, really, to be honest. It's actually one of my first major injuries, I guess. And it was a struggle mentally and physically for the last few months, but we're back now and that's all that matters.
Fantastic performance from Cork today, right from the off, all the way through. Played for the four quarters, which a lot of the players have commented on. That clearly was the goal today.
Yeah, we have our own targets to meet, I guess, when we go out, and we're kind of focusing on ourselves an awful lot. So we've targets for quarter one, two, three and four, and once we're meeting those targets, we should come out with a win at the end of the day. So we're striving to meet those targets all the time. So yeah, it was a really positive performance today.
Hitting those targets over the four quarters will be vital all the way from here on in, however far that goes. Next up, Galway back here at Parky Cueve. Always a physical, always a tough game against them, and you'll need to repeat this performance.
Absolutely, and I think we'll probably have to better ourselves again. Galway and us have had huge battles throughout the years, and they're a huge physical side, and they have really, really strong forwards, you know. So we have to go away now, dust ourselves off after today, focus on them now, coming tomorrow, bit of recovery and stuff, and back into training on Monday looking at Galway.
And playing in a big wide open pitch like Parky Cueve clearly suits this senior team. You get to play there again now. Is there an advantage to having played a full game coming into the Galway match?
I think it was really good to be here today, to be honest. What a surface there is here, and like, you know, it's always great to be down here in the park. So really looking forward to next weekend, and like Galway and us, it's always going to be a big battle. So there's a good game coming next weekend.
Good to have you back. Well done today.
Thanks, Ger.
Now here from Captain Laura Hayes.
Okay, Laura, the scoreline doesn't really lie. It was a really one-sided victory, but you held your opponent scoreless. You got four goals, and from the first minute, you were on it, as they say. How happy are you with the overall squad performance today?
Yeah, to be honest, I think we can be very happy with it. I think it was a game we've targeted. I know it's not that much of a break, but we had 2 weeks off, and we'd been 4 weeks on after that, so it was nearly felt like we were starved a game, so we were very hungry coming in here today, and I think that showed on the pitch. Look, I think there's a real competitiveness in the team, and I think we came out here today with the mindset, not that we were competing against Dublin, but like, we need to perform to our own standards. So I think we can be very satisfied with what came today, but next day now against Galway, it could be a different story.
Yeah, as we speak, they're winning well and they're winning against Clare. We assume they'll win that. You know yourselves, if you get that victory over Galway, that you're into an All-Ireland semi-final. Is that a big target for you, or are you just going to take it each game as it comes and you want to win it anyway?
Yeah, I suppose, look, we're kind of really only focusing on our own performances, especially this year. Obviously, anyone that starts the championship, you want to top the group, so our goal will be to beat Galway, but I suppose we won't be going in knowing it's kind of a life or death game. We'll be thinking about our own performance and look, hoping to back up what we did here today.
I'm getting to play in Parky Cueve. It's rare enough, more frequent thankfully as years go by. Fantastic surface considering there was concerts on here recently. Did that make much of a difference for you today?
Yeah, I suppose, look, we love big wide pitch like this, similar to Croke Park, to be fair, and look, thanks to Quartier or whatever, I think it was in brilliant nick for us. I think the next day now against Galway, it'll be here again, and hopefully we'll have a big crowd out as well to support us.
And just finally, momentum, hitting the heights, and a lot of you, I could hear you because there's pretty much big echo here on the ground today, you know, reminding players to stay on their target, keep thinking, keep doing all the right things. I mean, that's really what it's about now at this stage of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like this was probably the first game where we got that four quarter performance. It's something we've been going after. We might have had two, three quarter performances, so I think a lot of that we had kind of discussed was coming down to concentration and just keep pushing and performing based on our performance, not on the opposition. So I think we'd be happy with that today, and look, as you said, there is a big echo here today, so look, we'll be looking to get more support out next day if possible.
Excellent stuff, well done.
Brilliant, thanks very much.
Now we're a bit stuck for time, so that's the last player interview we'll hear, but of course we will hear from Cork manager Ger Manley.
Okay, Ger, congratulations, obviously comprehensive to put it mildly. Could you have done with a better test heading into the Galway game?
Well, Dublin were a test, really. Like, they're doing very well in the league. They won the League 1B. They ran Kilkenny close in the Leinster Championship. They played very well against Galway in the first section of the league, and they hammered Wexford last week, so we were expecting a very good game. And look, I suppose to the start we got a very good start. Amy O'Connor was on fire and saved Mackey, and like, it just, I think everything gelled for us early on. I thought the girls' attitude and application was excellent. Do you know what I mean? We're using our squad well, and I thought it was a very good performance.
I used the word sharp in my game notes as I was watching you from the 4th minute on. That's what you were today.
Yeah, I suppose it's been getting better. I suppose the Cork, obviously about Cork, we like the summer days, we like the hard ground, and it's the same to Camogies. They're exceptionally good hurlers, Camogie players at Calder Hurling. Their skill level is so high, and we've been so good in the last couple of weeks in training. I was just hoping. Thanks, Dan. I just thought we were very sharp today. Look, there's something to work on every day, and I suppose Dublin will be disappointed with their own performance, but look, we can only be what's in front of us.
You held them scoreless from open play. That's something I know, you know, from your own performance you'd be very pleased with.
Yeah, defensively at top. She's a thunder. Defensively, I thought we were very strong. We lost Maeve there during the week, Maeve Callan, and we lost one or two. Lizzie got a bit of a strain. So, look, you see what Saba came in. Niamh Callan did very well. Hannah did well. And I thought defensively we were very strong. And I suppose it's the hallmarks of a good side, a very good side, that your defence is strong.
Just on those injuries, Maeve and Izzy, how confident are you that they might be fit for next weekend?
No. Izzy should be okay. I'd say Maeve is probably out. Maeve will probably be out for 3 or 4 weeks. Got a bit of a strain in her hamstring. So, hopefully, she'll get back for the knockout stages. We're through, so whatever we get through to, she hopefully she'll be back, and Izzy, she will be back next week.
And just finally, obviously the aim would be to get to that All-Ireland semi-final, avoid having to play a quarter-final. Not the end of the world if you do.
Look, we want to, like, at the end of the day you're trying to win all your matches. I don't go to lose any match the girls want to. Like, Liam is an exceptional coach and he will be driving it on again during the week. I think the girls, as you can see, are a very focused team. Like, I suppose we're just managing it, I suppose, in the sense of, but we have some very exceptionally good players. Hopefully we're coming right at the right time, and next week is a Galway, look, have been, I suppose, racked the seal down through the years. I think we beat them last year in the semi-final. We had some very good games in them. There's very little between ourselves and Galway. Haven't been for as long as I've been involved, so look, it's a good game for us next week.
Best of luck. Well done.
Thanks, sir.
Right, and that concludes the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey signing off. Big thanks to all the contributors here, and thank you for joining me. Stick around though, as Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next. Talk to you next week.